I don't know about you, but I'm going to start a sign-in petition to have Victor permanently do the announcements. Who said we can't have fun in church? Amen. Well, this message has been prayed for, and I think we're going to beat the Baptist to the restaurants today. If all goes well, keep your fingers crossed. It's great to be in the house of the Lord today. As some of you regulars may have noticed, we've been out of church for the past 3 Sundays, which is not only very unusual, but kind of strange. Although we have joined the services each Sunday via the wonders of technology, and I want to take this opportunity to say a big thank you to all of you who make that possible. It's a great blessing, but it's just not the same as fellowshipping together in person. So we're truly thankful to be here today. Now, I know when sometimes there's not too much information and people make up their own stuff. Let me set the record straight. We have not found a new church. And we are not even looking for one. Okay, so let me get that out of the way. No, we instead came down infected with that dreaded virus, which I'm not going to name. And it happened so strangely. We went to Boise with Josh on the 13th to help him look at some apartments. Spend the night, came back over on the 14th. I started feeling funny the next day. I put it off to a long drive there and back and just being tired. There was no improvement Friday nor Saturday. And then finally Saturday, I texted Pastor Jim and said, we'll not be in church tomorrow. I just don't feel right. And at that time, I was the only one feeling yucky. We didn't come that Sunday. I took that week off, but my wife was working as usual. She was at work Sunday when I went to the urgent care and got tested. I received my positive result on Monday the 19th. My wife went to work, tested that same day, but did not get her positive test result until the 22nd. Meanwhile, she was able to help me through the worst of my illness. Once I started to feel a little better, she started feeling worse and ended up in the emergency room the evening of the 28th. She was admitted and released the afternoon of the 30th. Henry and Clara tested on the 23rd. Henry was negative and Clara positive, but with no symptoms. We thank God for his healing power, and although we have been symptom-free for way past a requisite period, we're still working on getting our strength and energy levels back up. So I always say this, I'm going to try to take it easy today. Pray for me. So it's great to be in the house of the Lord this Sunday, which we are also celebrating as Mother's Day in 2021. It's already been said, but in that vein, I would like to say a happy, happy, blessed Mother's Day to all the mothers in the house this morning. Let's give our mothers a hand. Now, I don't see our youngest mother in the house today, which is Emma, I believe. I don't think we've had any mothers younger than Emma. But to all the mothers in between the spectrum, we love you, we cherish you, and appreciate you from the bottom of our hearts. Flowers and cards and all the food in the world cannot even begin to express the love and appreciation we have for all of you. And we just want to thank you and appreciate you on this day and always. Keep in mind that if you are a female, you are a mother. No matter how young or old you are, or whether you have been blessed with giving birth to children yourself or not. Mothers not only give birth to us, they are our nurturers, our feeders, our teachers, our caretakers, our trainers, and so much more. We can indeed fill many messages and volumes talking about mothers. However, today, I would like us to meditate for just a short while on the topic, All in the Family. Now, I think that's a TV show, but just forget about that show right now. I spend a lot of time thinking about family, among a lot of other things, some not so pleasant, while sick. You may never realize how important and comforting all the texts, calls, and especially prayers were to us during our time of illness, and we thank you and appreciate all of you very much. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines family as the basic unit in society traditionally consisting of two parents rearing their children, also any various social units differing from but regarded as equivalent to the traditional family. A single-parent family, spouse and children, a group of individuals living under one roof and usually under one head. A group of persons of common ancestry. A people or group of peoples regarded as deriving from a common stock. A group of people united by certain convictions or common affiliation. I like that definition. The freedictionary.com defines the word family as follows. Parents and their children considered as a group, whether dwelling together or not. The children of one person or one couple collectively. The spouse and children of one person. Any group of persons closely related by blood as parents, children, uncles, aunts, and cousins. All those persons considered as descendants of a common progenitor. A group of persons who form a household, especially under one head. A group of people who are generally not blood relations, but who share common attitudes, interests, or goals. That's a good definition. God told Abram, and that was before he had changed his name to Abraham, he was still Abram at that time, in the 12th chapter of Genesis, beginning at verse 1, to, I quote, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God told Abraham, in him, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This was all part of God's grand plan of salvation to reconcile mankind back to himself. All you Bible scholars will know that, of course, the plan unfolds beginning with the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, all through the Bible up to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. The first two chapters of Genesis give the account of the creation, and of course the third chapter of Genesis gives the account of the separation of mankind from God through sin. Abram had to leave his people and his family based upon the command of God, because God was going to establish his, God's, chosen people and chosen nation through him. God was going to use him to establish a nation and a people that he was going to work through to bring salvation and reconciliation to all mankind. And then we notice the emphasis that God told Abram in the second half of verse 3 of Genesis chapter 12, that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. A lot of times we think that all through it was only the message to the Jews, and it was only in the New Testament that the Gentiles became involved in the plan of God to save mankind. But no. God is telling Abram way back in the beginning that in you all, A-L-L, all, not some, not a few, not a hand-picked, but all, which includes you and me today. Amen? And everybody down through the generations and everybody that will come after us, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we are partakers of this promise of God and the blessing of God that he established way back then in Genesis. Colossians chapter number 1, beginning at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, talking about Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, Jesus, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 21, and you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, this is a very rich, just a short passage, but there's a lot in there. We see first that Jesus Christ fulfilled the plan of redemption and reconciliation by his suffering and death to pay the penalty once and for all our sins, past, present, and future. Again, this was no accident. This was all part of God's grand design that he had already foretold in the promise and the command to Abraham back in Genesis, that I will use you to bless all the families of the earth. And so we see it that in verse 19, that it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood on the cross, through his blood on the cross. Once and for all, paying the penalty that you and I could never pay, making it unnecessary to sacrifice animals and shed blood that only temporarily didn't wash it away, just covered it. You know, it's like you got some dirt somewhere in your house and you're expecting company and you go put some over it or put a chair where the spot is to cover it. It may look nice, but the dirt's still there. Amen? That's the same effect of the blood of goat and sheep and doves and all those things, it only temporarily covered it, but the sin was still there. But Jesus comes along, and the scripture says he made peace through the blood of the cross. Verse 21 tells us that he has reconciled us, who were once aliens and enemies. Some translations say strangers in our own minds. What does it mean to be an alien? It means you're a stranger. You're not part of the family. You don't belong. Yeah, but we were once aliens. We were once strangers. We were once outsiders and outcasts. Amen? But Jesus once and for all paid the price that was necessary to reconcile us once and for all to the Father. So now we're no more aliens. We're no more strangers. We're no more enemies in our own minds, because our minds have been renewed. We're a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. Because the blood that Jesus shed was shed for you and for me. It was shed to pay the price for our sins that we could never pay. Because the wages of sin, the scripture said, is death. We deserve death. But God, in his goodness, says, no, I want you to have life. Life abundant and life eternal. He has reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death, the scripture says that we just read, to present us not just barely escaped. When we were in school, we used to say, you pass by the skin of your teeth. No. What does the scripture say? To present us what? Holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Hallelujah. Not in the sight of man, but holy and blameless and above reproach. Can you imagine in God's sight? The true, living, and holy God. The God that spoke the galaxies and the universe into existence. For us to be considered holy and blameless and above reproach. Let that sink in for a little bit. So no matter what accusations, the enemy flings at us, not guilty, innocent. In fact, innocent is even better than not guilty. Above reproach in the eyes of the true and living God. But then here comes that little ugly word. I think it's a proposition, if I remember my English grammar correctly, from high school many eons ago. If, verse 23, if we continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's what verse 23 says. And above reproach in his sight, ending 22 and end 23 of Colossians 1. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. So there's a part we have to play in this grand design. Number one, the gift is a free gift. But we have to accept it. Amen? The Bible says in Romans that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, so it takes both belief. Belief by itself is not enough. But a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. But that's not the end of the story. Because the scripture says that we also, from that point, have to continue in the faith. We have to continue to grow in the knowledge and the love of our Lord and Savior. We have to continue to nourish ourselves. First Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow by it. Just as earthly food is necessary to nourish this earthly body, spiritual food is totally necessary and vital to nourish the spiritual part of us. Too often, a lot of us neglect that part. We're very good about nourishing the earthly part. Me included, you can tell, right? But we have to continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not move away from the hope of the gospel. We have been grafted and adopted into the family of God, and are now all kinfolk, I will use that word, united by the bond of the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture said we've been bought with a price. So we no longer live for ourselves. We no longer belong to ourselves. It's no longer about what is us. No. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. God has purchased us with a price. And for his purpose. Not for our earthly desires. He promised to give us and supply all our needs. And he hasn't failed once. None of us here will be the first example of God failing. I guarantee you that. And you're wondering, where am I going with all this? Where is it? We will get there soon. There might be only one thing more frustrating and disappointing than talking with people who say that although they are saved by grace and believers in the finished work of Jesus Christ, they have a problem with quote-unquote organized religion, whatever that is, and therefore they feel content serving God on their own. They have a problem with organized religion. So, you know, I'm saved, but that church thing and all that stuff, It's not for me. Mm-hmm. And I always get this example of those of you grillers here, you got a nice charcoal grill going, nice heat, and then you pluck one charcoal out of the fire and just put it down by itself. Oh, I'm sure it combusts and glows and kind of erupts into a bonfire. No. It quickly goes out. And that's exactly what happens to people who say, oh, you know, I'm a lone ranger. I can figure this out. I can do this by myself. You know, Jesus is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is in within me. Yeah, that's only part of the story. But I said there might be only one thing more frustrating. And what is that? That is talking with people who for some reason can't seem to settle down. They always got the itch to go from one place to another. They hop from church to church and never really become part of a family. Never really become part of a body. Never really become connected. Last time I checked, people who visited every once in a while were never considered part of the family, although they were treated well as welcome guests. That's just what they were being, guests. And in the context of a local church, the body of believers, we welcome guests. We welcome. Oh, come. Come just as you are. People ask me, so does your church welcome homosexuals? I said, sure. We love homosexuals. We love drunks. We love people because God loves people. But one difference you will find in our church is that we will give you what the Word of God says. Now, being a homosexual is no worse than being a liar in God's eyes, or being a gossip, or being a backbiter. Amen? The place is quiet now. Amen? It's no different. But one of the tricks of the enemy has been to have us so focused on this one sin that we think all the other sins are okay. No, no, no. It's not okay. So we welcome everyone, and we welcome everyone to become part of our family. Yeah, we're going to welcome you. We're going to love you. But we're going to tell you what the Word of God says in love. Not in condemnation. Because Paul says, such were some of you. Amen? Such were some of you. Jesus said, those that are well have no need of a physician. Normally, well people don't just get up and go to the hospital. You know, when I was sick, somebody told me, said, I know some people who just like hospitals. I said, well, they might need to be in a mental institution. Because those that are well don't have no need of a physician. So those that are sick, sin sick, are the ones that need to come to where the healing power of the blood of Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. It is not about us and our comfort. It is about God's will and His desire for His church. You see, it's not our church, it's God's church. When we refuse to become a committed part of the family of God in the local church, we deprive others of the gift that God has given to us for the sole purpose of blessing his body. That's what happens. Let me repeat that. When we refuse to become a committed part of the family of God in the local church, we deprive others of the gift that God has given to us for the sole purpose of blessing his body. And you may be sitting here this morning, well, you know, I don't have a gift. That's not true. God has given each and every one of us at least one gift that is meant not for us, but to bless his body. So let's just look at a few points. We were created to be interdependent and not independent. We were created to be interdependent and not independent. That's why the family consists of father, mother, husband, wife. Each of them has their own role. I don't care what the culture tells you. I thought I was going to be totally politically correct today, but I defer a little bit. No matter what the culture tells you, men will never know what it's like to be a mother. That's just a fact. You can take that to the bank. Although once I went to take a flu shot and I was asked whether I was pregnant. Just because the stupid girl was going down a list of questions that she was asking like a machine. We were created to be interdependent and not independent. God didn't make us to be lone rangers. He made us to belong to each other. All of us whose salvation has been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ belong in his body and need to be committed to the local church as established by the apostles in the book of Acts. Yeah. I tell people, I invite you to come to the church I worship at. It's fine if you come. It's fine if you find somewhere else, but just find somewhere and be committed to that body. This might come as a shock to you. Just as no natural family is perfect, no church family is perfect either. I know this comes as a shock. In fact, if by chance you did find a perfect church, it will cease to be perfect as soon as you stepped inside the door. A lot of people jump from place to place because they were offended. They were hurt. Somebody said something. The pastor didn't shake their hand one Sunday. The pastor didn't speak to them. They don't like the color of the carpet. They don't like the color of the chairs. They don't like the music. I mean, there's a long list. But just as we don't get rid of, well, sometimes people get divorced over which side the toilet paper turns. Or whether you squeeze a toothpaste from the bottom or from the top. But just as we don't get rid of our natural families over such nonsense, we shouldn't expect the church family to be perfect either. Because we're not perfect. Just by us being there, we know it's not perfect, right? I realize that for most of us, who have always been around our natural families and might not have realized the importance of our church family, this may not be making much sense. However, for me, it's personal, very personal. My family, we moved to Spokane in August of 2001 after immigrating to the U.S. from Africa and spending a year and a half in Kennewick, 2 hours southwest of here. New Hope was the second church we visited while looking and praying for a church home. It has been a home and family for us ever since. One of my workmates had invited me to his church because he knew we were believers, and that was the first one we visited. This was the second. Here we have found new mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, nephews, nieces, children, grandchildren, and have found a home, truly a home. My recent illness has given me a greater appreciation of this family. It has also made me realize my own shortcomings as part of this family in the past and a renewed commitment to this body. I have not been very good at calling people who are sick or connecting or just being more involved with the body, and I make a commitment that that will improve. We have to do a better job of keeping the family intact, even while we consciously strive to bring others into the fold. I ask the worship team to come up. We have to connect with people and follow up with them, touch base with them when we don't see them 1 week, 2 weeks, or, you know. We have to do a better job of encouraging people to remain in the fold. Yes, people get offended, but it's our job to minimize those offenses. And sometimes we need to apologize when we offend people. We can't just have the attitude, oh, well, you know, they'll find somewhere else. They may or they may not. This might be where God has purpose for them to use their gifts to bless us. So we have to invite people. We have to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And when they do come through our doors, yes, it's the Holy Spirit that keeps them and convicts, but we also have a part to play. Amen? Amen. We need to redouble our efforts along those lines. And then finally, I'll share something with you that I haven't even shared this with my wife. I was walking out of work about a couple of months ago, and there were two guys standing up right outside the entrance door. One of them was the chaplain where I work, and the other one was a pastor friend of mine who happens to pastor a church right across the street. And we worked together. And then because I saw the two of them and I walked outside, I said, well, you guys want us to just start a service right outside right outside here? And then they laughed. And then my friend told me something that struck me and shocked me and made me wake up. And this is what he said. He said, in 3 years, we're going to buy your building. Yes. That's what he told me. He said, in 3 years, we're going to buy your building. Now, I don't know what he was thinking, but it made me think that even if that's not the reality, he must have at least had a perception that something was going on that would have made it possible or probable that what he said would come true. Now, I was too polite to rebuke him right there. And I didn't, but I've since thought long and hard about what he said. It will not happen. In Jesus' name. We are a family. And by God's grace, we're going to stay a family. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to lift one another up. We're going to pray for one another. And we're going to hold together. And in fact, instead of our numbers going down, our numbers are going to go up. Because God is still God. He's still on the throne. Abraham says, what if I find five faithful people? God said, I will spare them. Let's continue to pray for our church. Let's continue to pray for our leadership, for direction, for guidance, and for God's will to be accomplished in our body. Amen. Please stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God is still in the prayer answering business. The account of the man at the pool of Bethesda and the Holy Spirit is saying that the waters are troubled this morning. I don't know what you believe in God for this morning, but whatever it is, if you really believe in God for something this morning, I'm here to tell you that he's still in the prayer answering business. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. You don't have to come up. God sees you where you are. Amen. And as we pray this morning, let's just believe God for who he says he is. He says in his word, you shall declare a thing and it will be established unto you. As long as we're praying his will. Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to worship you this morning. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last and everything in between. You are our healer, you are our savior, you are our redeemer. You are our battle axe. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so that we can love you. We thank you that we have the privilege this morning of knowing you as Lord and as savior of our lives. We thank you for bringing us this morning. We thank you for our mothers, Lord. We thank you for blessing us with them. And Lord, we come lifting up your people before you this morning. Lord, you saw the hands, and even more importantly, you see the hearts. We lift up knees before you this morning, Lord. We pray for healing in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, in our emotions, in our psyche, Lord. This has been a trying time. Touch us and heal us this morning. From the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we lift up families and relationships before you this morning. We pray you will mend the broken pieces, Lord. Bring husband and wife closer together. Bring families, parents and children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews, Lord, that have strayed away. Bring them back into the fold by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, we pray for those seeking direction, seeking a purpose, seeking their calling. Speak to their hearts this morning. Let them know where they belong and why they belong. And Lord, let your spirit assure them that they are where you want them to be, Lord. We pray for those seeking jobs and financial breakthrough, Lord. Your word says you are the provider of every good and perfect gift. Lord, we pray for our church body. We pray for those that can't be here, that are watching that are at home for whatever reason, Lord. Be with them. Your spirit is everywhere, Lord. Touch them, heal them, bring them back to us, Lord, soon. And we just give you the praise, Lord. You're not confounded by the virus. You know exactly what's going on. You know exactly what you're doing, Lord. And we trust you. We praise you. We honor you this morning. Father, we pray you will dismiss us with your blessing. And may your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.